Well, this year we've been starting to get trickled through a lot of the results of the census, and that will continue over the next couple of years as they dig deeper and get some more information. But what we have found that in the last 5 years since the previous census was done, we've seen a jump in the number of people ticking or marking the no religion box from 22% back in 2011 to in 2016, 29.6%, let's roughly say 30%. That's nearly a third of those completing the survey. So what does that say to us about our society, about how we view ourselves, what we believe in? Can we still call ourselves a Christian country? We thought we'd explore those ideas. Joining me in the studio is Reverend Dr. Andrew Jutney from the School of Theology at Flinders Uni. And also in our studio is Brian Morris from Plain Reason. Brian, good afternoon.
Thanks, Sonia. Good to be here.
Now, can I just ask you to explain, what is Plain Reason for those who perhaps aren't familiar with that?
Well, Plain Reason really just takes up the whole issue of looking at secular issues right across the board. The central tenet of all this is the separation of church and state. Australia is meant to be a secular country due to our constitution, section 116, but we're not. We're not fully secular at all. And so what we do is look at the range of issues that tend to get hung up or roadblocked by religion on a range of social issues. I mean, the obvious ones at the moment are marriage equality and voluntary euthanasia. Just recently, a bill in South Australia was defeated by one vote. But there's a bill coming up in Victoria shortly and also one after that in New South Wales, and there's a good chance the Victorian one will get up. But the reason that they don't, of course, they're blocked very strongly by a very, though in numbers very small, but in terms of power and influence, the religious hierarchy, make that very difficult to get through.
So given the premise of your group, what do you take from the trends we're seeing through the census?
Look, we're elated, to be honest. I think we regard the latest census as something of a victory. 30% all up, when you look at all those no religion aspects, it's 30.1. We're very encouraged by that, and see this balance of power changing. We're also very much concerned by the fact that the Australian Bureau of Statistics has not responded to a huge number of submissions after 2011. And our argument is still that the wrong question is being asked.
Why? What do you think should be asked?
Because the question at the moment is, what is the person's religion? Which immediately assumes that everybody has one.
Well, it doesn't if you've got an option for no religion.
But it does. So you can line up 100 psychologists, and every one of them would say that that question, what is the person's religion, is a closed question. It's very much a loaded question.
Okay.
And it's not being, that sort of question is not being asked by the other Western countries. For instance, England now, no religion is 52%, Scotland 60%, New Zealand 47%. Scandinavian countries between 80 and 85%. So why is Australia languishing still at 30%? And it's because the question. And the question should be, does the person practice a religion, yes or no? And then they move on, and so we get a much clearer view about where people stand on that non-religious question.
Reverend Dr. Andrew Jutney, do you think the issue of practicing a religion is key to all of this?
I think it's important. But having said that, I think particularly in recent decades, there are large numbers of people for whom the religion that they identify with is important to them, even though they frankly just don't have time to be particularly involved.
And so is that valued to them from the religious context or from the values that the religion espouses?
A little bit of both.
Because I think that can be separated, can't
it? They can, yes, yeah. A little bit of both. I think when people identify a religion as the one that they claim as theirs, then you'd assume that they'd pick up, they'd associate their value system at least with that religion. Now, it may not correspond exactly with what the religion would espouse as its values, but it provides a basis for those people to say, well, this, I'm a, say, a Catholic, and this is why I behave in these ways. But the values and the religion kind of slide in and out of each other. It's a it's hard to pin down.
Brian, you're nodding your head there.
Well, look, it's true of so many people, Sonia. I mean, see, the problem here is we talked about, you know, this 30%, and I talked about the question being a loaded question, the wrong question. There are so many surveys done in various states. That Christian vote or that Christian figure, it's fairly well known that one in five, 20%, will tick off a Christian religion at the census, although they've never practiced. They might have been brought up in an Anglican household and never gone to church since they were 10 or 11 and had no interest in religion at all. But because the census is such an important document, we hear this time and time again from literally hundreds of people that say, well, I thought the census really meant, you know, was I baptized or christened as a Catholic or an Anglican or whatever. And they feel duty-bound to follow that, even though they just don't practice that religion at all. And that's why the census in other countries use that phrase, does the person practice a religion?
Andrew, can I ask you then, when it comes to identifying... Why do you think we are compelled to identify with something even if we don't practice? Do you think that's part of it?
Well, some people would do that, and it's hard to investigate people's motives at this kind of distance from, you know, a tick box. And I think a number of the points Brian are making I'd agree with completely in terms of the nature of the question and the kind of information it gives you. But in terms of identifying Australia as a Christian country, Australia's always had a kind of vexed relationship with organised religion, which in terms of the colonising culture was Christian. So except for a very short period in the early history of the colony, there's never been an established church in Australia. As Brian's mentioned, the Constitution, although it refers to God, is very careful not to enfranchise a particular religion. In this 21st century, as organised religion and organised social behaviours in general have become less and less holding of people in society, identifying with an organised religion is understandably on the decline.
But Andrew, if I could just ask you, how much do you think we value identifying as a Christian country in Australia?
Now there's a couple of different answers to this. One is, if we're anxious about some other religion, then you'll find a lot of the society wants to identify the country as a Christian country. The insistence on being a Christian country can very easily be just an expression of anxiety about some perceived other influence, be it another religion or some form of secularism that's unpalatable or whatever. So there can be that anxiety. There's another dimension to being a Christian country, and that is that when you look at the origins of a lot of our important social structures and political and legal structures, many of them go deeply down into the roots of the Christian church in the Western Christian church. Now, those legal, cultural, social structures these days have very loose connections with any form of organised religion. And some ask the question, well, can they survive complete separation from religion? And that's one of those things that could be argued about. So, you know, simple things like the rule of law originates deeply down in Christian history, and it's something that's crucial to our society, regardless of what your religious view might be.
Brian Morris, do you want to add something here?
Because I do. I challenge that. The fact is that Christianity inherited this from England from the time of colony. This idea that it's the bedrock of our entire society is really heavily overplayed. The whole essence of being moral or ethical and what have you really goes back to Greek philosophy and law for the Roman law. I mean, I think we overplay this whole thing of Christianity. I mean, let's bear in mind from the time of Federation, 100 years or so before that, there was really no choice. It was the only game in town. 15 centuries, there was a very strong imperative to be Christian, to be God-fearing, that wonderful old cliche from the past. Because if you weren't, your life could very much be in danger. that's the tradition of Christianity. We talked with Andrew before, and it really does have a very checkered and bloody history. And we're seeing the same sort of things cropping up now with Islam. But that sort of thing carries on for a long period of time. And I think it's only now, since people are more into science, into rationality, into scepticism, and challenging, being critical thinkers. I mean, we should be teaching philosophical ethics in schools and critical thinking rather than religion, because it teaches people to think more clearly.
Sure, and that's obviously what your group is talking about. But when we talk about Christianity or being a Christian country, would you agree that there are a group of people who will say, look, I'm not religious, but I believe in Christian values, and that's what I want my country to espouse?
Some of these Christian values predate Jesus Christ by a long, long way. I mean, the golden rule goes back to Confucius 500 years prior, you know, and all of this stuff does from Greek philosophy. I mean, Christianity has really hijacked really so much of it all and claimed it to be Christian. Christmas. Christians don't know when Jesus Christ was born. I mean,
Andrew, you're smiling.
Nor do they know when he was crucified. I mean, and they've borrowed from pagan and secular festivals to lay on top of Christianity. It's a bit of a con all the way down the line.
All right. It's 22 minutes past 3 here on ABC Radio Adelaide. Are we seeing a change in the way we view ourselves in Australia with now a third almost at around 30% of Australians actively ticking the no religion box, not just lapsed or not practicing, but actively ticking the no religion box in the most recent census? So in the studio with me, Reverend Dr. Andrew Jutney from Flinders Uni and Brian Morris from Plain Reason. We're talking about the census results on the no religion front and what that says about us as a society. Glenn's given us a ring. Hi, Glenn. Is it important to you to be considered a Christian nation, Glenn, or not?
No, I think the census had it all wrong. If you are a practicing religious person, that's what should be the question.
Yeah.
And I think most Australians put down Christianity, as I have in the past, but I'm not a practicing Christian. I don't go to church on Sunday. I have certain beliefs, but I don't believe now they belong to any particular bigotry in a particular religion.
I hear what Glenn's saying, but I mean, we could say that a lot of atheists are spiritual. I mean, they look at a wonderful sunrise and get that wonderful warm glow and that feeling. But it's an entirely different thing to apply that to some sort of ethereal God above.
Doug, good afternoon. What did you want to add to this?
I just wondered whether the results in the census were skewed a little bit in terms of the no religion marking, because there was an advertising campaign encouraging people to mark that as a response.
Well, I thought the campaign was to encourage you not to mark it, to actually mark Christian, so that it wasn't seen as a Muslim country or an Islamic country. Is that...
No. There was even a thing on the back of the Sunday Mail talking about a poster that's still been left up, and it quite clearly talks about encouraging people to mark no religion in the census.
Mm. Right.
Yeah, there is. The Atheist Foundation of Australia did run a campaign. He's quite right. But to counter that, there were a number of national email chains on that very point to stop mosques being built in every suburb. Doesn't matter what you believe, fill out the Christian box. Mm. And that was a very strong campaign run by a right-wing group than a Christian group.
So there was ones for either side,
absolutely,
wasn't it? Yeah, okay.
One of the things about Australians historically has been a respect for religion, even though you don't practice religion. And it's one of the curious things that people are reassured somehow that there are at least some people out there who are practicing this thing. But in terms of their daily lives, they've got other things.
But there also should be respect for people who are secular and atheist.
Of course. One
thing that gets out of kilter the whole time, people will often bang on about, you know, the freedom of religion. We support that entirely. But the United Nations Declaration of Human Rights, the full term is freedom of religion and belief, which includes atheism and the right of people with no belief to express their views openly. And this has always been denied. The ABC runs 8 religious programs. there is not one program devoted at all across the board secular issues. Mm. And it's something that I think we should talk to Michelle Guthrie about, because now that we have a clear and increasing mandate for the secular view, I'm so pleased that, Sonia, that today on this question you've asked somebody from a secular organisation to actually come in and talk about it, because it's good to have a balanced view, and atheists, secularists, rationalists really have a lot to say now about the social contract.
Brian, Andrew.
I was just going to say, I think you're right. The freedom of speech and expression is critical. It's very important.
Absolutely.
I would have thought, however, that there's an awful lot of media airtime given to science and rational analysis of news and public events, and so it should be.
Well, that's right. Science certainly should be.
It's not as though secularism is being
it's not given a voice,
except to state the political aspects of it. It's all very well giving lip service and say, okay, people from science come on, you get Brian Cox and talking about the universe and blah. Really entirely different thing. I mean, nobody from an atheist or secular organisation gets really the chance to put forward why voluntary euthanasia should be allowed in Australia, why chaplains in schools is really a bad idea. $750 million already been spent on chaplains in schools when they should be counsellors for school children. There are two dozen issues
that. Okay, many issues, and I'm sure we can talk about those perhaps at a later date. But Andrew, if I could ask you, what role do you think the church has in all of this question of whether Australia may not be at some point a Christian society?
And it's a live conversation amongst the Christian churches or within Christian churches because of the changing position of the church in society, moving to the margins more to the than from the centre. And so in Australia, as we see the numbers of people identifying with the church decreasing, churches are asking themselves, okay, so what is our role in this society? I think some quite creative thinking will come out of that.
It's interesting, though. I mean, other than Brian, I suspect, we talk about, and whether you believe it or not, there is a lot of talk of fear around the idea of being a Muslim country, and yet do we have the same fear surrounding the idea of being a Christian country?
Yeah, we're not at grave danger of becoming a Muslim country, and the census helps us see that.
2.6% of the population is Muslim. So
yeah. That's right.
Not a great... This fear of going to be a mosque in every city is just not going to happen.
No.
There'll be a mosque for every Muslim, just about.
And that's why sometimes the ramp-up of fear around that seems a little bit disproportionate at the very least.
All these nationalist groups, I mean, it's just crazy.
Doesn't seem to be a corresponding concern, other than perhaps Brian, about it being a Christian country, do you think?
Yeah, well, let me be fair. Let's be fair here. I don't have any great problem with, have no problem at all with people believing whatever they wish, and nor do most atheists and rationalists. And as I say, the human rights agenda is that people can believe what they like. But it should really be personal and private. Where we get a little upset is because the way that the census frames this particular question and gives such a heavy bias towards Christianity that has a flow-on effect politically and financially. The churches collect a vast amount of revenue from the government because that vote is so high, and we would like to see that distributed more evenly with secular organisations that should also be in the mix.
And I know there's plenty more to say, but we're going to have to wrap it up there. We are well past when we had to finish, but thank you so much. Maybe we could continue this discussion at a later time, possibly. Reverend Dr. Andrew Jutney from the School of Theology at Flinders Uni and Brian Morris from Plain Reason, thank you both for coming in and joining us today.
Thanks, Sonia.